Are you recording over there?
Yeah, you gotta do the countdown.
Yeah, but I just want to make sure. Usually you're recording before I do the countdown.
Correct.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, record! You're listening to League Podcast, episode 373. Matt Derson.
Clay Inferno.
All right, and here we are. This is May 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. And
oh, happy Clay. Revenge of the 5th.
Oh, is that what they call this day now?
Stacy's, since I've met Stacy, she's always said the real holidays. It's almost like, I guess, like Greek Orthodox or like, different religions have different Easters. And she's like, the real one to celebrate is Revenge of the 5th.
Because I think you mean Geek Orthodox, I think is what you...
Ooh, Geek Orthodox! Very good, Derson! Very good!
Geek Orthodox Day! It's Revenge of the 5th, so this is real Star Wars Day. Okay, so like,
it's for
all those
fans.
Networks...
It's for people that like the third movie. Which is all bad. Right.
Which is okay. Yeah, that's not a bad movie. Alright, well...
Would you say Revenge... Just because it is... Star Wars weekend. Would you say that that Revenge of the Sith is better than Solo?
Oh yeah.
Would you say it's better than The Last Jedi?
Oh, I think you know that it is.
Okay, cool.
It's but better it's than better, most.
It's not better than Rogue One.
No, it's not. But maybe it's better than most of the. If you took what do they got? 10 movies, whatever it is now.
Maybe it is better than Rogue One.
I don't know. They're close. I mean, Revenge out of all the prequels, by far, Revenge of the Sith. But even it's probably even better than some of. It's probably better than Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah, I don't know why people don't like Return of the Jedi.
It's not that I don't like it. I think Revenge of the Sith is it's pretty good. It had some good moments. There were, it was. Well, yeah.
Never seen a space battle like that before. That was the coolest.
At the beginning, the fun
yeah,
space
just
battle?
At the beginning. Yeah, that's so awesome.
That was a fun way to start. That's like a half an hour right there, of just action right at the beginning of the movie. So that was a totally cool new thing. And then General Grievous, of course.
You are a big fan.
I like General Grievous.
Even if he's a little sick. Somebody get this guy some Dayquil.
The one part that always gets me about Revenge of the Sith, I guess, I don't like it. It's silly. The scene where, Mace Windu is there and he's about to kill Emperor Palpatine or Chancellor Palpatine or whatever he is. And they're really overacting in that scene. And then, the scene with the unlimited power, that part. They're really overdoing it, and even Samuel Jackson is like, he's too dangerous to stay alive. It's just like, wow, you guys are really, you're really acting here, aren't you?
Chewing up the bad CGI scenery of the senator or the chancellor's office or whatever. Everything was just kind of fuzzed out.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is something that they could do better now, but the parts where he's obviously ridiculously old, Emperor Palpatine, the actor, what's his name, Ian McDiarmid, and so he can't really do anything with the lightsaber, so they put his head on another guy's body, but they try to do his face as much as they could, I think, to try to just make it see, but he really can't do anything. And he's kind of just sort of stabbing awkwardly, and it's fine, but it's kind of just it's like he's trying to stab a fly out of the air with a fork. Or something, it's just, I don't know. He looks kind of like the way Mr. Burns would do something like that. But I mean, overall, it's a fun movie. Obviously it's got the great lightsaber battle at the end. I like the scene with, where he goes into the Jedi Temple and they're just that's pretty cool. All the Jedi getting killed is it's very dramatic, all that. But there's some funny lines, of course, as there are. I mean, I don't mean funny, haha. I mean awkward lines as there are in all the movies. So it's whatever. But yeah, so hey, Revenge of the Sith, this is your day. You're right up there with all the Star Wars movies that are actually
great ones. All the great ones.
That's what I think, anyway. Do you have an opinion of that as well?
I also agree that it's right up there in my, it's at least in my top five, I guess. If we're just doing a quick math and not having to put one,
right,
all of those spots, it's in my top five.
Sure. You know what I could say? We'll talk about Star Wars for a little bit. But yesterday, TBS ran a marathon. They played all the movies in a row.
Oh.
On May the 4th. Yes. Not like we haven't seen them before, but anyway.
Jedi?
I don't know. I didn't hang around. But I was watching Force Awakens.
Because when we were a kid, it would just be three movies.
I know. They were never on TV. Yeah.
That's why I remember watching it first. It was on TV.
Ah, yeah.
But in my neighbor's house, I think.
Wow. But anyway, so I was watching Force Awakens a little bit yesterday on TBS. And I was like, oh, this movie's not that bad. I feel like people kind of get down on it. They're like, oh, it's just the same. It's just A New Hope, you know, reimagined. Or I'm like,
isn't that what people wanted?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's exactly what I said. Wait a minute. If it was too different, you would have said it was too different.
Yeah.
I think it did a good job introducing Rey. It's like someone who is a, you know, like, oh, she's like a, you know, like this cool character, and she's got this force. She's got the force, and whatever.
I mean, the force. I mean, they made the First Order a little different than like regular stormtroopers who aren't clones.
Yeah, a little different because Finn was like we got to find out like what it was like, you know, like a little bit. We got, you know, yeah. It was great to see Han Solo
Phasma
back. Yeah, it was, you know, it was
shiny
a good
floors, very shiny floors.
Sure, shiny floor. I don't know. I think that movie's okay, but whatever. Anyone else, you are welcome to your opinion. But I was watching a little bit last night.
They average themselves out to be wrapping it up in a good way, like. And JJ, we trust again.
Hopefully. Yeah, I hope so. Boy, that last one was.
But JJ hasn't ever let me down, personally. He's even got a Mission Impossible movie in there.
All right. Never let you down.
What? I mean, he let me down, I guess, a little bit with Lost. but he's never let me down on the big screen.
I see. I never even watched Lost, ever. Can you believe that?
Oh, I can't. That was like a couple years ago when Stacey's like, you've never seen The Goonies? She made me watch it.
Well, I don't know if it holds up. Does it hold up?
The Goonies?
Yeah.
Thanos is in that.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
It does hold up. I liked it.
Okay. All right, well, let's... since yesterday was not only May the 4th, but it was Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, we went out on a little excursion.
Yeah, an excursion.
I didn't grab any of those books when I sat down. But I read Spider-Man and the Avengers one.
I read the Spider-Man one. It's, you know what, it's as Free Comic Book Day go, I mean, it's the same. So at the beginning, they're sort of priming you.
It was like an advertisement for this new Carnage
right
book that's coming out,
yeah, which is like, oh, he's gonna...
I didn't like that, but I like the Peter and Miles story about like different, hey, which bar was the best pizza, and they fight the Shocker along the way,
and the Shocker's like, my pizza's the best, and they were like, well, you know what, Shocker is right, because whatever pizza reminds you of home is the best pizza.
That was really syrupy and over the top, and I love it. I was like, oh, look at this old Spider-Man story, feel good times. I like how he's like, what's an after school special?
Yeah, I know. That's definitely an old joke. Like, really, you know, like that is kind of an old, but I guess they don't have them. Kids don't even watch fucking TV. Why the hell would they have after school special?
Yeah, they're like Minecraft YouTube.
Yeah, that was pretty syrupy. But I mean, I guess that's, especially Marvel, that's what they're going to do. They're going to like play up like, oh, here we go. We got this big Carnage story coming. And if you read that, then you, you know, you're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
What was the Avengers one like? I actually hadn't gotten to that one yet.
It was like real confusing. I didn't know what was going on. There was like a bunch of star brand planet, and I couldn't tell. I think they were like dealing with like kind of a multiverse kind of thing where everybody was like the star brand version of the Avengers. I couldn't really follow it. It seemed to be in current like continuity, and
which you don't. Why?
Which I don't know, and there was like a weird version of Captain America I'd never seen before. It was like future space Captain America. He had like a cyber shield. So maybe he's like the
star version. Is it round? Version.
It is round.
Yeah, I don't know. I gave up on Avengers. The comic.
I was hoping it would be a little bit more not quite as impenetrable as some incontinuity story about the Savage Avengers, and there was like a short Elektra story that made no sense to me either. So, whatever.
Yeah, don't you think like it'd be cool if one day one of these things actually like they had a free comic day book that like mattered, that you had to read it and be like, oh, okay, like
they used to now I do that. Now they're just advertising for like the upcoming events, but they used to like do cool stuff with like Miles and be like, this is actually like the issue zero to the, you know, to the Bendis new, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man or whatever for.
Right. Yeah, they used to do stuff like that. Oh yeah, here it is. To be continued in upcoming issues of Avengers. Oh, like, great. I don't know.
See that cap?
Yeah,
I'm talking about is that what Captain America looks like now? I just don't know.
No, that's some other weird cap. Okay, because there's also like weird Thor with like big teeth and stuff. I don't know what any of this is because I haven't read it, but I don't care. And you know what? I don't care about Blade. Can I just tell you that right now? I'm sorry, anybody out there listening. I don't care about Blade.
I like how everyone's like occasionally like some think piece like geek. We're using the word a lot today, but like a geek think piece about like, here is why Blade is responsible for Avengers Endgame. It was
the first MCU movie was Blade. Whatever.
And then Blade 2, and then Blade 3, and you have that to thank for Deadpool 2. And you have that to thank for The Batman Begins. Really?
Yeah, like there's always some. Well, it's just clickbait, you know, crap like that.
I'm not opposed to clickbait, and I usually
really
I will be like, okay, I'll check that out. No, it works on me. That's why I hate it so much.
I always click on it. Yeah, that's the problem. I wish it didn't work. I'm getting a lot these days about like, this is how much Chris Hemsworth made on Avengers Endgame. This is how much Robert Downey Jr. made. Like, I don't care how much they made.
I know.
Stop it. Leave them alone. But anyway, because it shows up on my phone, because my phone knows that I like the MCU movies. So they're always, anytime there's like any shitty article written about it, someone's like, my phone's like, you might be interested in this. Like, I'm not.
How much Chris Hemsworth made versus how much Wesley Snipes made on Blade.
I know, but like once in a while, some writer, you know, of Avengers will be like, you know what? Let's bring in Blade. And they're like, oh, great idea. And it's like, oh, like they're like, they bring in some obscure character that nobody cares about. Whatever. I got a beef with one of our free comic book day pickups.
Ooh. Did you want to hear my bunch? I just didn't really read.
I didn't read a bunch, but I read that one that's Firefly and Buffy.
Okay. I did not read that yet.
There are two stories in there, one Firefly and one Buffy. Yeah. They kind of play that off like it would be a crossover or something.
No, Dark Horse always... Well, it's not Dark Horse. It's like...
Boom, I think, right?
Boom. Yeah, they'll like do like sometimes they make it easier and they flip it, the cover, so it's like upside down. So that, like, they get the most out of their free comic book day thing by putting two stories in it. But you could, they flip the cover upside down and they print it backwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't like it.
You don't like that?
No, I don't. I was fooled. I guess I didn't know that. They literally put them both on the cover. Angel Buffy and Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly. Now, here's the other funny thing. None of the people from Firefly are actually in this story. It's like a new character that they're bringing in.
Well, she has to, Stacy has to make me watch Firefly, too, because I've never seen it.
It's only one season. It's pretty good.
I've seen, like, the first episode, like, 5 times. Oh. So I'm like, I gotta watch this. I should start at the beginning, and I always start at 1.
That's all right. I mean, I didn't think I would like it either, but it's not bad. It's pretty funny. So, yeah. You should watch it. That's my beef. That's all. I read the whole thing, and I was like, wait a minute. This is just a... And honestly, I've never watched Buffy, so I don't know anything about it.
Oh, see, there you go. That's good, too. You would like it.
I know, but that's like a lot of seasons.
It's 6 seasons. It's not like...
Man, that's a lot more than one.
Yeah, and you could actually skip the first season and just start the second season. That's when it starts to get good.
All right.
Why don't you tell me about a universe you know a lot about? Terry Moore's 5 Years, number one.
Wait, did that come out?
Yeah, maybe you didn't get it. Because
that wasn't a free comic book.
No, was not.
Okay. I should be getting that in the mail. Wait, that actually came out?
Yeah, I read it, and I'm prepared to talk about it.
Oh, God.
So we'll wait.
I can't believe I didn't get it. How did I not get it? I guess, is Terry Moore, I think I ordered those, like, through the mail.
Yeah, maybe it's delayed.
Now I'm upset.
I didn't mean to upset you, Durson.
Durson's getting upset!
Well, did you see there was a new Star Trek comic? Year 5? Talk about 5 years, and this one's year 5.
Well, I didn't get that either. No. Generally don't. Sorry.
Original series thing. And it's...
Okay. This is like Kirk and Spock?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a fan of, you know, comics that John was working on in the past, I think you would like this. It's very true to... Like, you could hear them speaking, practically. That's how good they have the voices down.
Huh.
And they get messed up with the Tholian web.
Tholian?
Tholian web.
I can't believe I missed Terry Moore comic. I'm such an idiot.
You're so upset.
Sorry, I'm not.
You could probably
I'm into Star
go
Trek.
To the store today and get it still.
Kind of like you can with all of those free comic day books, probably, right?
Yeah. Well, 5 years wasn't a free one. No, I bought it.
Jesus.
You're so upset. Let's see how much it cost. $3.99.
Yeah. I thought it was coming out later in the year.
But you are really upset. I'm sorry to have.
No, it's okay. I don't know why I'm that upset. Right, I can go down the store. It's a stream. Oh, now we can't even talk about it.
Literally today.
I feel like, you know, we can't even talk about it now. You want to talk about it. You're here like, oh, Durson will probably be reading this.
that was one where I probably would have bought it, but I knew that, you know, you have such an affinity for Terry Moore. I read it for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
And, I like to support Terry. I even buy his books if I don't read them. You know, although Strangers in Paradise, 25s.
Well, that was only like 10 issues or something, I think.
Right? But I could have left them on the shelf.
Yep, you could have. But, yeah, well, how about that? All right.
One more.
Can I talk? We haven't talked about, I feel like we haven't talked about comics in a while anyway, but what we really should. So I know, and I was behind, but let's talk. I finally caught up. Can we talk about this Batman thing that's been going on here?
Well, I didn't read last week's Batman, but I'm prepared to talk about Batman for sure.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I mean, this thing with this Nightmares storyline, I have not been liking. And the one from last week wasn't bad. It was more Catwoman left him kind of stuff. And we also got giant naked Bane. I don't know why they have to do that. I mean, just put clothes on him. What's the difference?
Like, you have the shirt off?
He's naked. Like, no clothes, no pants, no shirt, no nothing. And he's fighting with Thomas Wayne. And Thomas Wayne is like, oh, Bane, we need to stop fighting like this, my old friend. And like,
okay. And why is Thomas Wayne in there? Because of the button? And because of...
Yeah, they mentioned the button. I don't know, but I think part of this whole thing is Thomas Wayne, like, screwing with Batman.
Cool. Because that's what you do if you knew your son was alive and you were from a different timeline. You just come in and fuck with your son, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why. But they're doing all this sort of like, these are all Batman's nightmares. Yeah. Right? Like, that's what they've been doing the last few issues. I'm like, oh, this is so...
It seems like it's been going on for way too long.
I know. And so this issue finally says, like, that's the conclusion, but Batman is still there. Like, he didn't like escape or anything. I don't know. I'm just, they need to stop this. So I don't know if it's like a conclusion because it sucked or what, but I don't know. Like, there were nice moments. Like, I'll just, cause you don't care, right? If I just tell you what happens, right?
No, please do.
Yeah, so like he and Catwoman are having like a dance, and they kind of go through all the different incarnations of Catwoman, which is all the different costumes and everything, and then they finally end up, she's wearing the dress that she was going to wear to their wedding, and she finally just tells him, this isn't real Catwoman, but this is Batman's fear, but she finally tells him, like, we couldn't be together because you love Batman. You know, you don't love me, you love Batman. And you'll never be able to not love being Batman. So, you know, and whatever. So, I don't know. Hopefully that they're just done with this thing. I'm just like, I was just tired of it.
Yeah, it gave him an excuse to, they even had like somebody fill in for an issue or two where it was like a flash story.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that either.
It makes sense if you're reading The Flash. So, and it's more of a Flash story that more fits with like his world. So,
yeah.
What can you do? What can you do?
What can you do? You're right. But just put some clothes on, Bane. That's what you can do. I don't know. But I mean, yeah, like there was that one like you talked about a few weeks ago with like, oh, Catwoman and Lois Lane are out having a girls' night, whatever, and they're diving into the Fortress of Solitude thing, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just whatever. I mean, can we just get to like some real Batman stories?
Please. Detective stuff or like
what
Snyder was doing. I don't want more of what Snyder was doing, but he kept it. Kept it interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well.
A couple of Star Wars comics that came out, but I don't know if you bought them. But maybe you bought Dark Visions, Darth Vader?
I don't... I think it was sold out or something. It wasn't... I missed it.
This was weird because Darth Vader has, like, a... kind of like a super fan... like, she's a medical assistant to, like, the doctor that helps maintain, like, Darth Vader's, like, body in the suit. And he has kind of, like, you know, like, when you go to the dentist and they have, like, the dentist assistant, like,
Cleaning
you up and stuff. that's what she is, but to Darth Vader, and she's like totally like in love with him and like starts stealing little bits of like body and like cyber stuff that gets damaged in battle, and she starts like collecting it, and she's like really pretty like obsessed with Darth Vader, and she's like, he would love me. And she has like all these fantasies about ruling the galaxy with him and stuff, but she's just kind of like a loser, like intern. it was really all pretty right. Cool. This was another Dennis Hopeless thing, and there right. is lots of Darth Vader in it. And she's kind of like a, you know, obsessed like stalker. It's just weird. It's weird, but it was very good.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that book. I was like, oh, I'll pick that up, and then I got to the store and it wasn't there, and I was like, oh well, there must be. Maybe it did come out and I missed it, so it's in the, like, the last week's new arrivals, and it wasn't there either. So I guess it literally just sold out, and I even went to another store and couldn't find it. So I'm like, it must not have come out. So I don't know what the fuck.
And we have to say rest in peace to Peter Mayhew.
Oh yeah.
In order, I celebrated Star Wars Day to its fullest this weekend. I got the Age of Republic Han Solo book, which was written by Greg Pak and drawn by Chris Sprouse American Comics. And wow, that was a cool story. It's like a kind of in. Luke tells him, like, hey, you know, like, I know you're finished counting all your credits you got, but will you just do me this one last thing? Can you go drop this off on this planet? Because there's rebels dying. And, like, Han is like, I'm not part of the rebellion, dude. You know? Like, I don't even, not even about that. But then he's like, all right. Of course he does it.
Of course.
But along the way, he gets sidetracked, and somebody's like, well, will you do this other little side thing, like, for money? And then he goes and does that, and then things kind of blow up in his face. And so he shouldn't have gone and done this little extra thing.
Right. Of course.
But, and like, the main thing he was supposed to deliver to the rebels, like, gets stolen off the ship, and he has to steal it back. And then, but he finally does the right thing. And everybody's like, the rebels are like, ooh, Captain Solo. And he's like, I'm not the captain. I'm not even part of this. They do the whole thing. Until eventually, like, Chewie just kind of, like, punches him on the shoulder. He's like, you're part of this, dude. You're part of it.
Chewie says that?
Yeah, well, in Wookiee, but.
In Wookiee, yeah. Well, I missed that.
That was a good Greg Pak book. And also... Do you know how the Star Wars land is opening up at Disney?
Yeah.
It's called Galaxy's Edge. There was a I don't even know if it's a one-shot. No, it's not. It's in this world, and it's written by Ethan Sachs, who's the old man guy.
Right, I do believe,
right?
So yeah.
He's writing a bunch of stories, and there's lots of Han and Chewie in this as well that relates to the theme park. Which is a tie-in that I've apparently bought in on, and now I'm buying this other Star Wars comic. So, you know, the Age of Rebellion books are good, as well, as I've been saying. And then now, you know, we get Sax on this Galaxy's Edge book with Han and Chewie, and it's quite good. I gotta say.
Well, very well. I mean, the rumor is. I know the rumor is if you want to stay in the Star Wars land thing, Star Wars Pavilion or whatever they call it, if you stay there, you get assigned like a role. But it's not like, oh, you're Luke Skywalker. You get assigned like you're like a mechanic or something like that. You know, like you just you're given a good job or I don't know how it works exactly.
And I don't know if they're like. You're on vacation, and they're like, you have to. You get an alarm, and it's like at 8 a.m., and you have to like be at work.
Yeah, go 9. Fix the spaceship now. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work.
Do we have any? Do we get a lunch break? No.
No. Empire's coming. You gotta get these X-wing ready to go. Come on, man. Like, I just want to go on vacation. I'm just here on vacation. Let's go. Yeah, but anyway, I mean, it sounds fun. I mean, but wouldn't you, yeah, if you could pick your role, that would be great. It's like, I'll be the Sith Lord. You know?
Yeah.
I want to force choke anybody who doesn't give me free stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely want to be, I don't know, maybe like that blind Jedi in Rogue One.
He wasn't really a Jedi, though.
Oh, he was like force sensitive.
Yeah, and he believed in the Force.
Yeah.
He was one with the Force, and the Force was with him.
That's right.
He kept saying, I'm one with the Force is with me. I like that guy, too, but I wouldn't pick him because he was blind. Would you have to be blind?
Well, I would have an advantage because I wouldn't tell anyone.
No. I don't know. But anyway, it sounds fun. Whatever. It's going to be great. Everything, you know, it's going to have cool rides and apparently a cool comic book to tie into it.
It actually is pretty good. They Chewing Han something something for money, they have to go and they have to, I think that like the MacGuffin is like, it's like Sarlacc Sarlacc material, like frozen. Huh. But they go to this planet where like it's almost like a farm, and they have like a parent Sarlacc in a pit and two young baby Sarlaccs in a pit in the sand. And so they're like, oh, you know, he's always transporting monsters and stuff around.
Right, right. Tell me you're not hauling Rathdars. I'm hauling Rath. I did yesterday.
Both of those books, though, there was Chewie was in it. So,
poor one. So yeah, R.I.P. Peter Mayhew. Mm-hmm. He was apparently not in good health for a while.
Yeah,
I did kind of an interest. I guess this kind of relates to Star Wars, but I did a thing. So after I got on the bus, right? Mm-hmm. After we departed ways yesterday. And I'm riding home, and I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of near my storage unit. So I got off. I went to my storage unit because I know I have stuff in there that I can sell. Because so I don't know, and I know this isn't, you know, maybe on Star Wars Day or whatever the hell, Revenge of the Fifth. But those old Star Wars vintage collection action figures that they sold like a while ago. I bought a bunch of them, and now, and John said he was selling some of his, and he sold for, like, then they're worth decent money because I don't make them anymore. So, you know, I got to say, my money might be a little tight coming up soon. So I was like, it's time to get some of these up on eBay, and I already sold one for.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it was kind of neat, like, impromptu visit to my storage unit, pulled out a bunch of those action figures.
Nice.
And there we go. And one of them has a bid, and another one sold already. I got a Darth Vader, I got a Yoda, I got a Qui-Gon. I don't even know where I got these. So this is the thing in those, you know, like the card. It has the little hole at the top that you stores use to hang them.
Yep.
If you have one that is unpunched, as they call it, that's like worth more. So if it doesn't have that hole in it.
Mm. So do you have some of those?
I have. Well, that's the one that's sold already. And I have another one. I must have bought them on Amazon or something, though. I don't even remember. But obviously, because if you bought it in a store, it would have it.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. But yeah, I took a cue from John Hunt, and I'm selling a couple of these guys.
Nice.
So anybody's listening, if you want some Star Wars vintage collection, blah, blah, go get them.
Nice.
Darcy needs the money. All right. So, yeah. Okay. So I got another. You were talking about the old man things, right?
Yes.
Sacks. So the Dead Man Logan. I wanted to talk about this for a second. So, you know, this is like a 12-issue series. I think they're going to get rid of the old man Logan character since we've already got regular Logan back. So we don't need old man Logan. And it's kind of like the movie Logan where he's getting his adamantium poisoning is, you know, like ravaging his body, and his healing factor isn't really working because he's like hundreds of years old at this point. So he was like going around trying to like, you know, tie up some loose ends, and they send him back to his original timeline. And he's there. So this is the part that I don't get. And I never bought this book when, I don't know, like when it was a book. So, but anyway, so he gets captured by these guys. They tie him down and they start like eating him. Whoa. Like, I know, like, they're like, oh, this is great. We were going to just sell you for meat, but now we can just cut the meat off and it grows right back. So it's like, you're the gift that keeps on giving. I was like, this is gross. Like, and he's there for like weeks, they say weeks later, and they just keep cutting pieces off, and then, I don't know, throwing it on the grill, and then it grows back. And I'm like, this is just horrible. Like, what up? I'm not opposed to violence, obviously, but this is just like, ugh. You know? Like,
sounds gross.
And then, because this is like a future timeline, Luke Cage's and Jessica Jones' daughter comes and saves him. Because she's all grown up now in that timeline.
Does she have superpowers?
Yeah, she's kind of got, I don't know, she's like, I guess, but they don't really explain what her powers are, but she's like a, she's got like a sword and stuff, and she's, you know, she's good with that stuff, but they don't explain it. She doesn't shoot like lasers out of her eyes or anything.
Freaking lasers.
But I was just, yeah, I was like, this is a weird, I don't really like this. You know what I mean? As I'm reading it, I was like, I don't know, I guess maybe that's what they were going for, but this is a little disturbing. Like,
yeah.
having guys eat Wolverine's flesh, and then it just grows right back. Because he's Wolverine.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, like, it's not Sisyphus, but it's like that Greek tragedy where, like, the liver is, like, exposed, and, like, the crow keeps eating it, and then it keeps growing back.
Yeah. Which one is that? Yeah, I don't remember.
Either way, it's gross.
Yeah, it's gross. Because it's just, I don't know. There are things that I've never really, sometimes they've pushed the healing factor bit a bit too far. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's one thing, it's like, oh, you know, yeah, he gets cut up and then he heals, or he gets, you know, he gets shot and it heals up, whatever. But like, I don't know, like when you're like, we're going to just burn him alive and then, oh, he comes back. Or like, we're going to, I don't know. There's so much, sometimes they just push it too far. And I feel
I feel like he shouldn't be like disintegrated and be able to come back, or like all his flesh tears off of him, but his bones are still there, but he can grow back from that. Like, there has to be like some sort of limit.
Yeah, I don't like, and like, it's also like, it's not like he's not impervious to pain. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they make it seem like it just, he's invulnerable or something. It's like, well, no, if you like, you know, it hurts, it just grows, like, he doesn't get injured because it grows back pretty fast, but like, it doesn't grow back instantly. I don't know. It's weird. Sometimes they push it too far. Like, yeah, literally he will blow up and all he has left are his adamantium bones, and then he just eventually grows back. Like, it's just like,
yeah, I like really how weird. They kind of have it in it's totally silly, but it's like the Deadpool or Deadpool 2, and it's like shirt cocking it, or like his little arm has to grow back.
Yeah,
the baby arm. You know, like that's kind of how I think it. All of that stuff works.
Right, I think that's probably it. Yeah, because he saw it even in the first Deadpool. He was handcuffed and he cut his own hand off. Yeah, and he had like the baby hand.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how hard it was to jerk off or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember the exact line. But yeah, that's how I picture it to be. But sometimes in the comics, they just make it like it's kind of absurd.
Who is Ryan Reynolds' wife? Is it Blake Lively?
Yeah.
Because I guess that the line in Deadpool 2, because I like watched like with the commentary on, like that, like, are you shirt cocking it? She's She says that, like, there's nothing less attractive than, like, a regular, like, grown man with a shirt on and nothing else. And that she came up with shirt cock in it. Like, when he comes out of the bathroom or something.
Oh, God.
Shirt cock in it?
Shirt cock in, yeah, I can see how that would be gross. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's funny in The Hangover, the first one, the only one I've cared to see, but like
the only one that's canon for you.
Yeah, that one's canon. But what's his name? Zach Galifianakis like gets up and goes to the bathroom, and that he finds the tiger in there, but he's not wearing any pants. And like, what's his name? Rocket Raccoon. There, what's his name? I can't think of his name. Bradley Cooper. It's like, dude, put some pants on. I feel weird that I have to keep telling you. Like, because he's like running around. He's like, my God, there's a tiger in this dark. He's not wearing any pants. He's just wearing a t-shirt. And he's like, dude, put some pants on. I feel weird that I have to keep telling you. I have to say it again. But yeah, it is gross. Oh, well. It's the opposite for women. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Anyways. But yeah, I don't like. In fact, in Deadpool recently, in the comics, they did a thing where, like, there was some bad guy, like, ripped all his bones out, and he was just this, like, floppy thing. But he was also, like, still talking and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I kind of feel like you would just die from the shock of the, you know, like, being in so much pain. Because he's not impervious to pain.
Right.
Yeah, who knows? I guess we shouldn't overanalyze it, but. They did. I think Deadpool has done a good job of that, I think. Because now I think, like, in Deadpool 2, he couldn't even kill himself. He wanted to die.
Right.
And he couldn't because he kept coming back. But, like, he didn't come back, like, right away. He had to grow back. Like, yeah. So, that's
interesting. I like in Deadpool 2 when he's, like, naming key issue numbers of Juggernaut comics that he's a fan of.
I know. That was great. That's a hell of a movie.
Did you read Amazing Spider-Man 20?
No, book? I'm only reading the main Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, really? I see them as the same book.
No, I'm not buying into that. I'm not doing that. I almost fell for it, though. I almost was like, wait, it's
the Vulture on the cover.
Yeah, but I was almost like, is this the main one? Oh, maybe I'll read this. And I was like, oh, no, this isn't it. Yeah, I didn't buy it. Was it any good? Am I missing out?
Well, just to talk about the main book, we find out that when Arcade put all those VR sets on the rich people, he was equally imprisoning them into not being able to get them off because he hates them too.
Right.
So that was a cool twist and a big part of the storyline, I think, that is.
Right. And I think the idea is if you kill them in the virtual reality, they die and they also die in real life. Right. Yeah. Yes. So that was that's
like
the twist.
Kind of like a twist on the 1% too. It's like getting back at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's this enemy at the end, the very last page, Vermin, where there's a bunch of clones of this Vermin, kind of looks like Man-Bat kind of guy. Like, that was covered in 20.huh when Arcade feeds a caged Vermin in a cage, like, in his lab, and, like, replicates him like Gremlin. So that's why there's, like, 20 of them attacking Spider-Man at the end of this issue.
So isn't Vermin the clone of the, what's his name, the guy who cloned Spider-Man back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't know that because I wasn't familiar with Vermin before. You were just talking about him just now.
Well, I think that's the doctor, right, whatever his name was, who cloned Spider-Man and cloned Gwen Stacy and then cloned himself. And his clone became Vermin. And then, of course, Spider-Man's clone became Ben Parker or Ben Reilly, I should say. And so that whole thing. They just keep going back to
that. Kind of gives that's it a little bit more of a. That's good background for me, though. Knowing that that's like.
They have all these ads saying issue like they have an ad in the Marvel books this week promoting Spider-Man number 24, which is leading up to the epic 25. I was like, whoa, they've reached 25 issues. Like, that's a milestone nowadays? Jesus Christ. Oh,
it's always a milestone. Yeah.
I know, but I mean, like, I remember buying Spider-Man 300, for Christ's sake.
Well, with Venom. Before they, like, yeah, when they're approaching 1,000, that's just what they'll do, you know?
I know. But it's so annoying that now they're trying to hype up number 25.
It is 25 with Nick Spencer, and he is the man.
Yeah, and Ryan Otley, I guess, is coming back to do that, because yep. He's been kind of on and off.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, Roberto Ramos drew this.
Which was fine. I like Ramos.
This actually, you know, like, this Craven, and I know I'm reading, like, all of the stuff, though. This is one of the best issues of this book we've seen in a few issues, I would say. You know.
They mean the huh issue or the real issue?
Not the huh, the real issue, the one you're...
Right,
the one you were talking about. Just there was just a lot, like a lot happened with the story in it.
And, yes,
yeah, we get like shitty Lizard Kid only for like a little bit.
This is way better than. I'm sorry to poop on this, but like it's way better than that Dan Slott crap. Sorry. I know you liked it. I think this is way better.
There's a lot of it. It's like kind of like. Is it better than Spider Island? Is it better than, you know, like I read all, like that was like a lot of issues to just like, I don't know, write it all off as saying that none of it was good. Is saying a lot because it was
like, it was so many years.
Different stories and there was Superior was in there and like, you know, it was good. Yeah, there was good shit in there.
Yeah, sure. I guess you're right.
I didn't follow Slott over to Fantastic Four or Silver Surfer. I did for a little bit, but I mean, you know, like I wasn't like he's. I need to read everything he does, but he was a good fit for Spider-Man, and I'm glad somebody else is doing it now, so that you can get a chance to.
I think the thing I like about Tom King. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I like when it's like a big. Switch like that because I've been a Nick Spencer fan for a long time. I've been talking about it with his Superior Foes book, like, and Morning Glories and stuff. Been talking about that for a long time. So having him on the book, I love it. I think it's great.
No, I'm very happy, and I think he's got a good. His Spider-Man is really good because it's not thing that a lot of people fall into, and not even just like a lot of writers. Even Bendis did this, and not Ultimate Spider-Man Bendis, but. Spider-Man, like, in the New Avengers Bendis, which we talked about last week. John and I did a little bit. But you can't, like, sometimes they make Spider-Man too stupid. I don't know. Maybe it's just an act. But he's supposed to be this, like, sort of brilliant scientist. And he comes across kind of dumb. And I don't like – I like him as funny, but I don't like him in dumb.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So I like Nick Spencer. He's got a good balance. Yeah,
and he's like super funny. And yeah. He puts him in like the he kind of it's not really that extreme, but he almost sometimes he like peters in like a Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of situation or something. Yeah. You know, like his roommate is like actually one of the you know, one of his villains.
Boomerang like, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like it. So we're supposedly introducing this new villain in the epic issue 25 that we don't know who it is, but I assume it's that person.
They're also pushing it down our throat in the Spider family, this whole idea of a Black Cat, number one.
Yeah.
Cool.
Jed McKay.
But, you know.
Like, whatever. I don't know. I don't know who this is. I assume it's the person that's been menacing Mary Jane. As we see in, you know, in the thing. Of course, Spider-Man Far From Home comes out very soon.
Right.
So, of course, they're going to be pushing Spider-Man in the comics because they always kind of do that. But the Jackal. Why couldn't I remember the guy? The Jackal was the guy who cloned. And so I think Vermin is a clone of the Jackal. All right. Anyway. But anyway. Cool. Yeah, so I think Mysterio is like the big bad in Far From Home.
Get ready for a ton of Mysterio covers and
right
tie-ins.
But I think we're also going to see like a lot of the other Sinister Six kind of like set up that's coming along, because they've already got, we've already had the Vulture. They set up Scorpion. They set up Shocker. Now we're going to get Mysterio, and you know, probably in a couple others. So I think that that's kind of cool. And cool.
And Vulture, in the all that you're missing in 20.huh is that Vulture kind of like was fighting on Spidey's side, but then you see him like go back to like actually being loyal to Arcade and helping his cause out. So that that's like a main, that's something you wouldn't have read because it's not in the main book, I guess. Just helpful for the story. So he's back to being bad now.
Well, there you go. He was never not bad. They're always never not bad. So anyway, yeah, they're teasing this new villain. I don't know who it is. They're not even saying who
it
is.
I'm a sucker for this cover too, for 20.huh. It's like an old school Vulture with like huge wings. Spidey's like kind of vulnerable below him. I've always liked the Vulture. Eric Larson's Vulture is my favorite.
Eric Larson's Vulture? Oh, yeah. I don't even remember that.
Sinister Six.
Oh, very well. Well, we'll see. I don't know, but yeah, they're so obviously they're going to be hyping Spider-Man up, try to get a little bit of a rub from the Far From Home thing.
Yeah, and they're riding high off of Into the Spider-Verse still. You know,
that's true.
Really well.
Very true, and really, really, really well done. Very well movie. All right, I mean, anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I did see Avengers, and you told me to...
Oh, that's right, yes.
Second viewing with you in the show. And I said I liked it a lot. And I did see clearly, and you guys were, like, all giving me shit about the Loki thing. Like, it made more sense to me the second time around.
Well, I know you had the guy's balls in your face, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, I think I was persecuted a little unfairly because,
all right,
because in a comic book brain, I could see that Loki could have used his shape shifting form to turn
it. Right, because they had just shown it.
Yeah.
A few minutes before.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that I'm right for that.
No, because you're not.
I did see it more clearly, and it was right. More clear to me. And that I didn't have the guy's balls in my face, and I did. It's not like I guess I missed anything when that guy's balls were in my face, because the wife and the two boys weren't there either time. But it really, like, that's a kick in the gut.
When Hawkeye turns around and they're just gone. That really got.
And it's so specific to the Marvel Universe and those movies and the end of the last movie that, you know, like, that's so weird. They have you've never like done that in another movie before, where half of the people just disappear. Like, it's such a crazy. The thing I keep appreciating about Avengers Endgame was the fact that the Russos took the Starlin verse idea of eliminating half the people in the universe, like whether it was for death or whether it was for, you know, Thanos wanting cosmic balance, whatever, they took the coolest conceit, which is to make half go away.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
They really pulled it off. Like, and that is just something you can only do in comics.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think it's pretty, you talk about the stakes being high, like, yeah, like, we have to stop this because literally half the people in the universe.
And when you're
reading dead.
Infinity Gauntlet, you're like, oh, half the people are like dead. It kind of has a smaller scale, like,
right.
It's just maybe I won't see Falcon or maybe I won't see Doctor Strange because they died or whatever.
Right.
But like when you see the way they illustrated it, especially with Captain Marvel, like, you know, going to the other planets and just saying like this is happening everywhere, you know,
right.
Half of half of the people that existed are just gone. Having people have to deal with that is like a huge, huge stake.
Yeah, and I think there was nothing against the comics. The comic is great, but it was, I think they did it in like issue two, in like the middle of the issue. It wasn't like a cliffhanger or anything. Oh, I have to, you know, I like the way the Russos did it, where like they ended the movie on that note, you know, like,
yeah,
oh, everybody's gone.
And in Endgame, when Cap pretty much defeats Thanos in, or he's, Cap is like up on the death throne or whatever with Thanos, and I think they fight or something, like in the comic. And I just thought that like that big superhero fight at the end with Cap against Thanos was kind of like a nod to.
Well, yeah, there is a too. There's a very definite nod, because in the comic book, Thanos does smash his shield.
Yes.
Like just like he does in the movie. So that was a very nice moment.
And like it was more, it was the same exact thing as when Doomsday was fighting Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, like it's the exact same thing, except for that it was like 1,000,000 times cooler.
Well, because because Thanos had been built up as this like unbeatable villain, and so
yeah.
Because even without the stones, he's pretty powerful.
And they've defeated him a couple of times, like literally, like you know, when Thor chops his head off and stuff, like they do beat him. And I have to say that upon a second viewing, like she doesn't have a ton of screen time, and I know that she's your favorite, but I really feel like Captain Marvel was the key to making everything work, and she was the one most powerful enough to help everything take it down.
That was that was a personal thing on my part that they wanted.
Was in there for the right amount of time, I think. Yeah, sure, I could have used more, but I think that she, you know, these other characters we've been with for
This wasn't that movie, that I guess, you know, this was the original Avengers movie, you know, but she'll have her own movie.
They couldn't have done it without her.
Right, because she did show up at the end and blow up his ship and all that, like, which was very cool. She
flew through the thing like a bunch of times and just like fucked it all up, you know?
It was really cool. Well, that's what she did in her movie, in Captain Marvel, too. She went out in space and blew up all the Kree ships and whatever. I mean, it's really cool. No, not that she didn't do anything. I just wanted some more. But I realized, like, this is not her movie. She's going to have her own movie to do all her stuff in, but, like, there's not going to be any more solo Cap, Iron Man, or Thor. I mean, I don't think there's going to be another. There might be a solo Thor movie if Taika Waititi wants to come back. I don't know. But, like, there aren't going to be any more of those guys. So this, they have to do it here. This is it. This is the only chance they're going to get to do this story. So here you go. And so Captain Marvel, Black Panther, everybody was like, well, they're not really in it. But they'll have their own movies to do their stuff in. I thought it was done really well.
In the time travel stuff, I just kind of am, I don't know, I still don't know what to think about it. There's new timelines now, I guess, right? Like, so,
you know,
things are in the,
it's kind of, they just, like I said to John, you've got to explain it. Like, I mean, like the screenwriter's job is to explain it and make you just believe that this is how it is and don't worry about it. It's kind of like,
yeah. Yeah,
we're not we're going to establish our own rules here, and those are the ones that this movie's going to follow. It's not Back to the Future or Terminator or Bill and Ted rules. Yeah,
which is why it's hard for us to it's hard for us to make that adjustment, because that is a creative decision they made, and none of them would make sense. I mean, I love watching time travel movies and time travel, like, you know, TV shows, Doctor Who, you know, like, I love it. And the logic to them is all different, but this one was really even its own kind of different.
Well, I like that, because we've seen all those movies 100 times, right? Like, just like you said, we've seen, they even name all the movies. It's like, oh, go back in time and kill Sarah Connor. Go back in time. Like, that's, it's sort of like, why don't we just go back in time and kill baby Thanos? It's like, well, no, that's horrible. And no, it wouldn't work, because this would all still happen. You know, but like, that's what he's that's what they're saying. And so it's good because it is a different story, not just the same old time travel story that we've seen 100 times. So I like that.
And, you're right. And the fact, yeah, just like that Tony didn't decide to just like make everything right again or like go back in time with the Infinity Stones. Like he was just like, bring all those people back now into our world as it is. You know, fucking trash on the sidewalks and everything.
Come well, on back. Yeah, because then he, well, he only did that because he didn't want his kid to go away. You know, I mean, like if they went back in time, you know what I mean? Like then his kid.
But that's good though. That's different. Like when it sets up the new status quo, it's like you have to like everyone's going to be talking about the thing that happened.
Right. Because it happened. They didn't erase it from happening. It happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So very cool. And yeah. I don't know what's going on with Agent Carter and Old Man. Look at, you know, Old Man Cap or
Old Man.
I just don't know. Yeah. I just don't know.
I don't think they're doing anything. But maybe they are. Who knows? They might do
it. Not they're going to do with it, but like how it all works. I just don't know. It's fine. I don't need
it. And who cares?
You're right.
They were. I can assume they just lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
So
and after that little slow dance, I bet she gave him a blowjob. What? You don't know.
All right, that on that happened. Note,
you don't I know think that on that happened, note, but you don't know that you that didn't happen. Don't know.
That. Oh, no, I don't know that it didn't happen. And maybe if it didn't, he went back and used the time gem to go back and try again so that she could do it next time.
Well, that's a dirty old man. That's why
the advantage of having the time stone is you can go back and keep getting that flow job, I guess.
That's why like he didn't want to tell Sam about it. Like, you want to tell me about that? Nope.
No, it's a little weird.
It's 125,000 blow jobs.
I just kept going back in time.
But Doctor Strange is like 14 million or something, right? So
right. Well, he's got it down. He's mastered the art, you know, the time stone. Did you ever see that movie About Time? Did you ever? It's got
that's like a
Hux
time thing.
Yeah. So like the first night he sleeps with Rachel McAdams. He goes back and does it so because he's like, I want to get this perfect. And he keeps going back and doing it again. It's hilarious. Like, he keeps going holding back.
For Hux?
Yeah, holding for Hux. Hux as like, yeah, like, it's so funny.
Nice.
Because then she's like, oh, you know, it's okay. You know, first time, it's always nerve wracking. And then he's like, can you excuse me a minute? And he just gets up and goes into the closet, goes back in time. And then goes and does it again. And then, like, he has trouble with her bra because it's like a front clasp one or something. So, like, he goes back in time remembering that it was the front clasp. And she's like, oh, look at you. You remember? You got that down. Like, she didn't say you remembered. Because she's like, oh, yeah, you got that down. So, it's pretty funny.
And then but, Captain America's, like, in the window watching.
Anyways. All right. Like I said, on that note, all right, we've gotten creepy enough here.
That's right.
But thanks for listening. Happy May the 6th, 5th, whatever date.
I guess tomorrow would be Revenge of the 6th.
I think that really is a thing. You call it Revenge of the 6th.
Yeah, you want to get crazy.
How many days can they carry this?
It's like Star Wars? 12 days of Christmas, man. Of geek Christmas.
But, yeah, enjoy your free comics, and yeah, that's it. And thanks for listening. Which you didn't.
Later, you fucks.